She's April.
And she's Molly.
And we are
the Book Besties.
These are some strong ass bitches.
Like, I can see where the sex games would come in. Like,
I'm frustrated.
You fuckers, we did it for you.
Stinky too over there.
Hey.
Hi. Like, I sent two. That is it.
No, it's not. I mean, the picture you sent looks worse than what it looks like on camera right now.
So, for those listening, I got punched in the eye by the puppy today. She put pressure on my eye socket.
And then I think you named Cloud wrong. She should be like Blizzard or something.
Or like assault a rifle? Disaster. I don't know.
She's a fucking disaster.
That dog is so the opposite. I got her a dog bed today. We're going to transition her off of our bed into the dog bed. That's guess what happened? I got punched in the eye for it.
Punched you in the eye. Mm-hmm. I am wearing one of my Carpe Librum t-shirts today. Be awesome, read books.
Oh, yeah. I love those shirts. I like that this color is great, too.
I know. This is the purpley, lavendery color. Mm-hmm. I love it. This is the last week to get a free magnetic bookmark with the purchase of a t-shirt.
Don't forget. Don't be late.
Yeah, and the code for that is Besties Rule.
Rock. Oh no, rule. That was last week.
No, it's
month. Oh my god, rule. Guys!
What April? Hello, said, Besties was last time. Besties Rule is this one, and you will get a new code next week.
Aren't you guys lucky?
So yeah. So that's what we got going on with the t-shirts and things. And, I gotta tell you a funny story. Okay. I don't know if we talked about this on the podcast, but when we were coming back from Columbus Book Festival, when like Tom mm-hmm. and Sam and I were coming back from Columbus Book Festival, our air conditioning went out in our car.
Right.
Right. I knew that you knew that, but I don't remember if we talked about this when Christy Boyce was on or whatever. So here's a funny story from what happened. So I am very pale. Yes. I am of the pale people.
Yes.
And I was very hot and I was wearing sweats. So I rolled my sweats up.
You turned pink.
Right. So I rolled my sweats up all the way to like mid thigh because they're they're a size too big for me. They fit me when I bought them, but I've lost weight. So they don't fit me as well now.
Right.
I rolled them all the way up to my mid thigh and I got sunburned on my mid thigh to my knee. Okay. Mm-hmm. And it was a very bad sunburn. Like it healed. I was putting lotion
because
on it.
You're pasty white.
I am very pasty. Molly, it is still discolored. It is fucking October.
You're going to have a forever line there now because
and
we're in our 40s.
I have a, this
I much. I have a forever line. From a couple summers ago, because I'm getting old and my skin doesn't regenerate anymore like it used to.
It is so annoying. Every time I get in the shower and like wash my leg, I'm disgusted by it. Because that's the really only time I like see it. Because I don't really.
Yeah. You're like, what the fuck? Aw, man.
I don't wear shorts. And so I'm like, man, why? So, so that's where I am with that. And I. Oh.
That would be irritating.
Speaking of Columbus Book Festival, I have been pulling a book from my TBR jar every month this year, and my November book is a book of an author we interviewed in Columbus. It's Denise Williams' Just Star Walk.
Oh, that's supposed to be really good.
I can't wait to read it.
That's supposed to be really good. I want to read that so bad.
I am currently working on prepping my journal for next year. This is my reading journal for next year.
Are you going to keep up with your TBR list?
Yeah, I plan to. This is from the booksisters.com, and they're on TikTok shop and all that stuff. I really like this planner. It's a thick daddy planner. It has a lot more stuff.
It's a thick mama jamma for sure.
But I have got to read down my TBR because I currently have...
I don't want to know because you're going to make me sad.
126 books on my physical TBR.
You can't see my face, but it's disgusting.
I'm disgusted with myself. I'm literally a librarian. I started this year talking about how I wasn't going to buy any books until I read down my physical TBR.
But these are just like your pre-orders and shit you've had. This isn't like I've watched your not to be a creepy bitch or anything, but I've paid attention to your buying. You haven't bought that much.
Mm. I love that you believe that. That is so sweet of you. That's what Tom believes too. And I'm like,
nope. Ma'am.
But ma'am. I am excited to read it down more. I still pull a book every month. I've successfully read 9 books so far, or 10, because I actually already read my October one. And I've pulled my one for November, and then I'll just have one left. But I have read down my TBR, so it actually, I've read more than 12 books. It's probably closer to like 30, which is really sad because that makes it sound like I keep buying books after I read them. But I'm currently reading Chuck Klosterman's The 90s.
Oh my God. This reminds me, that book reminds me, I have a new goal next year.
Yeah.
Every 3 fictions, I'm going to do a nonfiction.
Every 3 fictions, a nonfiction. I think that's a good goal.
Especially, I think it'll force me to research more too. But I don't want.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. Is it going to be nonfiction for your books, or
it's not all going to be research, but some of it will be research? Does that make sense?
Yeah,
I think I want to really educate myself.
I think you would really enjoy the LGBTQ history book that I read.
Bought it.
It's really good.
I bought it because the girls and I have been talking about it, and Liv's been wanting to read it since we talked about it, and I bought it. I saw it at Barnes & Noble the other day, and I bought it.
It's really good.
I bought also Black AF History.
Now, did you buy Everything is Tuberculosis, which is right behind me?
I have not, because I'm mad at John Green because I'm tired of hearing about tuberculosis!
So there's a... There's a TikToker who was posting about how he was getting like DMs from like a spam bot that was called John Green.
Yeah.
And the reason he knew it wasn't John Green, because nowhere in the conversation did he mention tuberculosis.
I bought. Okay. So Mattel is hitting their 80th anniversary. Okay.
Yeah.
And I lost my 8-ball 1 million years ago. So I bought myself the sparkly one that they came out with. Right. And I was looking at it as I was cashing out, and I go, I bet John Green can tie this to tuberculosis.
I'm sure he can.
I want to just talk about my 8-ball all day instead of that book we're here to talk about.
Yeah, so we are here to talk about this book, The Housemaid by Freda McFadden, which Freda McFadden as a whole has been recommended to us a gazillion times.
Hard.
I got this book, guys, from it is a physical copy of this book, but I got it from our Friends of the Library book sale. So I still supported local libraries, and I will be donating it back because I don't want this shit on my shelf anymore.
I will be bringing it back, fuckers.
So Freda McFadden, viral popularity. This book was the thing that launched her. So we have been asked to cover her repeatedly.
Since the book got viral.
It's been a while, and we just never put it on because, number one, we don't do a lot of scary books because I'm a wuss.
It's not that you're a wuss. It's just you have other preferences.
Yes, but as you said before, if it was just my preferences, we would be reading romance and romantasy all the time.
That's also true.
Although, to be fair, I really do like contemporary fiction and literary fiction. Yeah. And I know literary fiction isn't really like your thing.
It's because I don't want to feel stupid. It makes me feel stupid.
But Sharkheart is literary fiction, and you really liked that one.
Because it was weird.
I think I'm going to put Frederick Bachman on next season and just make you read a cry book.
Fine. You like that answer? Fine.
I mean, you know what it's I the think? Same answer I'm giving you when you tell me I'm reading that whatever.
Oh, yeah, we're reading Slufa. I think season 10, there should be no vetoes.
Okay.
Oh my god!
I'll agree to it. Let's have a wild free-for-all.
Jesus Christ, that's gonna be crazy. Okay, let's talk about
this. So let's talk about The Housemaid.
Because I have so much to bitch about.
Yeah, I already have my bell ready because here we are.
All right, so
synopsis?
Please.
All right. The Housemaid by Freda McFadden is a viral sensation, a Goodreads Choice Award winner, and an Amazon editor's best book selection. It has spawned 2 sequels and a movie and launched McFadden's career as a mystery thriller writer. The housemaid follows Millie as she is hired by Nina Winchester to clean the Winchester family estate. Millie is a semi-recently released ex-con who was convicted of murder and sent to prison in her teens. Given her record, Millie is surprised that Nina would take a chance on her for this live-in position. However, what seems to be fortuitous experience quickly turns into a dark psychological thriller where Millie finds herself the victim of Nina's abuse and inconsistent behavior while also falling for Nina's husband, Andrew. Because of course, How will Millie survive Nina's volatile behavior? Will Andrew pull a totally cliche falling for the maid routine? Is their daughter, Cecilia, actually allergic to peanut butter? You'll find out here. So
she never told her she was allergic to peanut butter.
Well, I mean, she didn't tell her a lot of shit. And then she did tell her a lot of shit. And then it was anyway, all fucking nonsense.
It's all nonsense.
I have a lot of feelings. So let's just start with the questions. We have been asked many times to cover Freda McFadden, you fuckers. We did it for you. I called our fans fuckers this time. The housemaid seemed like an obvious start with a 4.28 rating on Goodreads and multiple reviews on social media. So let's get right to the point. Did this book live up to the hype?
Are you guys shitting me? Mm. Are you guys shitting me? Mm. You redeemed yourself last season. What was it that we fell in love with last season? It doesn't even matter. You guys.
Well, we liked Blood of Hercules, and that's viral. And we also liked Dungeons and Drama with our friend Christy Boyce, and that was viral.
And we love Dungeon Crawler Carl.
We love Dungeon Crawler Carl, even though we technically haven't covered it for an episode.
I know you people are smart. I know you people are smart because you guys like Sharkheart, and I know you can process Sharkheart. So what the fuck is this shit? What the fuck is this shit? When people were claiming
it was bad.
When people were claiming this woman was writing, this was an AI series, and the books and all of this bullshit, I was like, no way. No way.
Yeah.
Then I was like, maybe after reading it. Maybe.
So I may actually, I don't know. I wrote the questions a while ago and then tried to forget about this book altogether. So
I know. Seriously.
I have later in the thing to talk about.
I blasted through Mate this weekend just so I could clear the deck.
I mean, that's why I'm reading the 90s by Chuck Klosterman. I was going to read Mate and then texted Katie and was like, hey, do you want to read Mate with me? And she was like, I can't right now. And I said, cool, I'll do it in November with you. And then you bitch decided to read it without us.
I didn't know you guys were buddy reading it.
Well, because we don't always include you in the buddy reads because you have
a brain. You have to read for
because you have to read for pod and you have to do your research for writing. So
yeah,
Katie reads and it doesn't hurt astronomically faster than both of us put together.
I'm not saying my feelings are hurt. You're just mad I read it before you did.
I am mad you read it before me. I read it a Red Bride earlier this year a second time because I had to cover it for my book club. So, no, I do not believe this book lived up to the hype. I did not like it. I thought it was full of cliches, and I don't understand why so many people like her. I don't get it.
It's because it's simple.
So we have read a few thrillers that have good twists for the pod, and one I can think of is The Senator's Wife. We read Liv Constantine's The Senator's Wife.
That face. Sorry.
I really liked that. I thought it had a really good twist. It was also a psychological thriller. I that kind of thing I think is good. I mean, even when is it 13? It's the juror.
That
was a great twist.
Yes.
Mexican Gothic was a great twist. I mean, there are books we have read that have that psychological thriller element to them, and they are great twists. This was not it. This was very cliche. This was like copy and paste what everyone else was doing.
It's kind of irritating. And while I didn't predict everything that happened in this book, it just felt like we were watching a Lifetime movie over and over again. Mm-hmm. It was just a Lifetime movie on a page. And icy. Next yeah. question, please. So I don't
All right. go into it. Millie is down on her luck. She has been fired from her post-prison job, evicted from her apartment, living in her car, and desperate for food that isn't a sandwich. The job with the Winchesters seems like the answer to her prayers, but Nina is very cruel, and the house is absolutely disgusting. What were your initial thoughts on the dynamic of these two main characters?
I thought there were a lot of secrets and lies going on, mm-hmm. right? Like, that's what the setup is, right? Mm-hmm. That there is secrets and lies.
Yeah.
And for someone to take, I mean, we don't know why she was in jail, right? That's like
we find out, but we don't know for most of the book.
We find out way later why she's in jail.
Yeah.
Way later.
Way later.
And when she hires her and we know she's been convicted, I'm like, okay, well, it can't be that bad if this lady hired her to live in the house. Right. So I'm like, okay, grand theft. Maybe she got caught carrying weed. Who knows what this kid did? Sorry. But I was very certain Nina was using her.
I was
Nobody too. Hires a criminal, right?
But well, I mean, why? I mean, criminals do good jobs, but
let me reverse that. That's not what I meant. What I mean is I would not hire someone with a mysterious criminal past to live in my home and take care of my child when I'm not around.
Yeah, absolutely. Without
doing proper research.
Absolutely.
I am not trying to talk badly against those who have been convicted, because there are several people that have been convicted that have federal offenses that have done nothing wrong, or it's just marijuana or lots of things. Right. But
I mean, it was very obvious to me that Nina was using her too.
But Nina was also batshit crazy.
Well, that's the way it's presented, right? So we're supposed to believe that Nina is crazy and Millie is doing the best she can, and she has to take the abuse because she doesn't have a better option. And, you know, the bait and switch is supposed to come later in the book. And I just feel like it wasn't enough to save this book. Like, it didn't do anything for me.
I really thought this game book was a cat and mouse game with the husband and wife. Mm-hmm. And they were fucking with this maid, right? Mm-hmm. And she's like, and he warned, like, the gardener warns her. I really thought, like, she was one of many maids. That's why there was nail scrapings in the walls. That's why the lock was on the outside. That's why I thought she was in some weird fucking sex game with these two.
I definitely thought that there was, that it was alluded to that there was a maid previously, because when Millie comes to the house to move in and start her job, she notes that the house was just absolutely disgusting, and she hadn't been there that long ago, and it was immaculate.
Right.
We find out why, but it's so late in the book to, I don't know. So one of the things that you need to do is you need to have red herrings and you need to have breadcrumbs, but I just felt like the story wasn't developed enough for me to care about anybody.
No.
Nobody was a good person in this book. And the fact that it got two sequels and a fucking movie, like, what the fuck?
And, like, the ending, the fucking ending.
We'll get there. All right, number three, Andrew, or Andy, as Nina calls him, and Nina have an interesting relationship. They seem truly in love. Andrew is incredibly supportive of his wife, and they are very physically affectionate. Did you initially feel sorry for his lot in life, or were you more supportive of his wife, supportive of his support for his mentally ill wife? So did you feel bad for him, or were you happy to see a man supporting his?
I honestly didn't trust Andy.
Mm-hmm.
Because most men who work in the city, New York City, that live on Long Island, usually have an apartment in the city. And they live in the city.
I feel like that's a cliched judgment that you can't make across the board.
But the type of money he has, the type of life he has, he would have had an apartment in the city. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like we're not getting the full picture. And I knew we weren't getting the full picture, but I also kind of pitied him because he was strapped with this woman who is mentally and hit, you know, I love her the way she is. I'm just so heartbroken. Yeah.
And he's caring for her daughter as if Cecilia is his own and she isn't. Mm-hmm. And he, I mean, he really seems like a great guy. It sort of made me feel like, you know, when you make some people, when they make the vows, that's it. You know, in sickness and health, mental illness is a sickness. Yeah. So, I mean, I felt like he was being supportive of her. I thought it was really weird how physically affectionate they were being in front of Nina, or in front of Millie. It almost was like they wanted her to see that. And like I can see where the sex games would come in.
Like, yeah, like that's where I was like getting this, like, this is a game to them.
Yeah.
This is a game to them. They're playing with this girl.
Yeah.
Like, how extreme they were making her mental illness. Look, mm-hmm. I know bipolar disorder is intense, and I know the mania mm-hmm. is intense, and I know the highs and lows can be intense, but mm-hmm. it felt cliche. It felt like they were.
I don't think that Freedom McFadden did any research on what it's like to be somebody that has these disorders. Like, no, I don't really think she understands mental illness at all.
It just didn't. It didn't fit the whole. I know. I grew up with it. I know what bipolar disorder looks like. I had an aunt I loved dearly that had it. I know what it's like on the bad end of that mania. Mm-hmm. I know what it's like when they're on the highs. And this just wasn't right.
And if she really was mentally ill, and she was having so many
episodes,
memory issues and episodes and manic behavior and that kind of stuff, like, if he really cared about her, he would have checked in, made sure her medicine was being taken. Like, there would have been steps.
A nanny. A nurse. Like, you have more money than God. Like, why are
you don't just need it? One live-in help. You could have more. Yeah.
Like, it just, the math wasn't mathing.
In their huge estate, they had one employee who was the gardener, and then Millie.
Never left.
Right.
Never fucking left.
And then Millie, who was the housekeeper and live-in housekeeper, and the first time they had live-in help. That just feels unlikely.
It's weird. Well, when the twist
made sense when we found out why, but I mean, it didn't make sense before that. All right. So speaking of mental illness, Millie learned through the PTA grapevine, because everybody learns through the PTA grapevine, that Nina was institutionalized for attempting to kill her daughter, Cecilia, and then herself. Millie immediately begins to develop feelings for Andrew and feel like he is too good for Nina. What were your thoughts on that plot point?
It is so fucking cliche. We agree. Just, the nanny and the husband is so overdone. Mm-hmm. The cheating husband, the young nanny, the way she talked about her boss too, and the body shaming, and it was just.
That's my next question. So hold on.
I'll shut up. Sorry. I just, it's too cliche. It's all, and again, AI. I see why people think it's AI when it's just cliche after cliche after cliche after cliche.
I think it also made Millie look so much more immature than she really was. I mean, and I get it. She's young, but she's also been to prison.
Mm-hmm. I don't think harder. And a little bit more savvy and wary of people. Yeah. Like, Freda McFadden did zero research for this.
Zero. Movie. I think she probably watched Orange is the New Black the first season, and then she was like, I got it.
I know how to do this.
I can do
it. I got this. Like,
figured it out. No. Yeah. The cliche of the nanny and the rich, hot husband, it was gross. All right, so...
Nancy.
And along those lines, I wanted to stay on Nina for a moment. Millie, who narrated most of the book, talks a lot about Nina's body. Nina is a size 14, and she's gained a lot of weight since marrying Andrew. The weight gain is another reason that Millie thinks she's a better fit for Andrew than Nina is. How do you feel about the body discussion in this book?
I feel like making a size 14 sound like she is a size 75 is ridiculous.
It's so gross.
As someone who has been on medications that change your body weight, you cannot control that sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we know by the end of the book, we know that Nina was eating overeating intentionally. She was trying to gain weight.
And Freda McFadden being a fucking doctor and doing this makes me even more pissed about this. It
makes
book.
Me very angry. The body shaming makes me very angry. In the year 2025, where there is more plus size inclusivity in every aspect of media, this book and the body shaming really grosses me out.
As a New Yorker, I also have some beef. Like, that Brooklyn accent the audiobook narrator did was...
It didn't bother me, but I read and listened, so I didn't listen.
It was horrific. It was horrific. It would be like if I went and asked one of my teenagers to do a Brooklyn accent, and they've never met someone from Brooklyn.
I just really felt like the discussion over Nina's body was so immature. It was so childish. It was like a high schooler, middle schooler even, who'd be like, well, I got a hotter body than she does. And it's like, you're a middle schooler. Like, you don't have a hot body at all. You're a child. Like, I felt like that was the discussion. If Billy talked like that
in jail, she would have gotten her ass beat.
100%. Regularly. Daily. Yes.
So, this is not the mindset, in my opinion, of someone who is fresh out of jail. It just isn't. It just does not feel that way. I mean,
you could lean to the she was stunted from her teenage years when she went into prison. But I don't know. I felt like it was gross. It was all gross.
Unless they put her in with... all just pre-teen, new adult. And
they didn't. She was
then
in...
they didn't. An adult prison. So I just...
Yeah.
It's not right.
And I missed my point. What was I going to say?
That's my line.
It was very profound, too. And now I can't fucking remember. So maybe it wasn't that profound. Yeah. I did not like the way that the body... issues or the body was discussed. It was gross. It was very gross. It was
unnecessary. And 100%. Disrespectful. And I get it. We're supposed to be assuming that this perfect Staten Island wife is not perfect like every other Staten Island wife. And I get your point. You did it the wrong way, Freda.
It was
gross.
You
did it the wrong way.
All right, so as the story progresses, it becomes glaringly obvious that Andrew and Millie have feelings for each other, or at least an attraction to one another. This comes to a head when they attend a Broadway musical, go to dinner with too much wine, and have sex in the hotel room, all on a trip that was originally planned for Nina. Thoughts, and were you cheering for their relationship?
Gross. That's it. That's the bottom line.
We've had this discussion before that I do not like cheating in books of any form. No. The first book that we covered on this podcast, which was called, what was it?
Something Borrowed.
And that was really the first book that you and I read together all the way back when we met in 2009. Mm-hmm. And I didn't like that book because it is about cheating, a relationship that comes to fruition through cheating. And I just have really big issues with that. It was very cliche. Of course, when he said you should go to the show, I knew 100%. Mm-hmm. Okay, they're going to fuck.
Yeah. As soon as he's like, I'll go with you. I was like, Jesus Christ.
No, you're not. You're not doing that.
And no, you're not. She purposely gave her those clothes. She set that whole thing up and we know it. Mm-hmm. Like, it is. Oof.
Yeah. It was so cliche that it was...
We're going to get to the twist.
Unforgivable. It was so cliche that it was unforgivable. And that's how I feel. Like, that's my synopsis of this whole book. So cliche, unforgivable. All right.
When we get to the twist, I'll tell you what pisses me off.
Well, good. We're there now. After 63% of the book is complete, we get to the quote-unquote plot twist. That Nina is not crazy, but Andrew sure as hell is... Did this plot twist redeem the story for you?
No, it pisses me off more. What pisses me off the most is Nina. Nina set another woman up to get hurt. Nina fucking was like, no, fuck that bitch. I don't care if she went she went to jail. It's fine. It's not a big deal.
Yeah.
She can deal
it
with
it. It won't
him.
Ruin her life.
I'm
her
getting
life's
the
already
fuck
ruined.
Out of here. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, fuck that. You don't do that to other women. You don't do that to other people. Mm-mm. You don't pass the buck.
So when we
kill yourself, don't be a coward.
Yeah. So up until that point, I had been texting you. I don't know if you had started at that point. I know I finished before you, but mm-hmm. I'd been texting you.
You wanted a live update from me when I got to that, though.
I did. I had been texting you how much I really did not like this book, how it just made me feel gross and uncomfortable, and it was so bad. Then when we hit that plot twist that Nina has been faking her behavior to Millie because she wanted Andrew to fall for her so that she could get out of this incredibly abusive situation. She
wanted him to feel bad for Millie.
Yeah, because that's how he got her. He saw something fragile and took it, which is so gross also. But here's the thing. Okay, I don't have a question on this, so I'm just going to bring it up now. I did some research on Freida McFadden, and she listed a lot of her favorite authors and favorite books on her website. And her favorite book is Gone Girl by Gillian Flynn, which has a plot twist that literally fucking no one saw coming. I remember reading Gone Girl.
You are not Gillian Flynn, and you never will be. You are not
Gillian Flynn. I remember reading Gone Girl. When it first came out, I read it.
Gone Girl fucked me up.
I was telling Tom about it prior to like the reveal. And Tom and I went to go see the movie together, and he didn't read the book, so he didn't know what was coming. But I had been telling him about it, and I was like, I just can't believe it. Like, everyone says this book is like really like gonna fuck with your mind, but this guy fucking killed her. He totally killed her. And then you get to the part where it's told from her perspective, and she did this whole, she's a crazy motherfucker. That was what Freida McFadden was trying to do, but she did not come close.
No.
Nowhere near Gillian Flynn's plot twist.
No. Gillian Flynn studied the Lacey Peterson story. Gillian Flynn studied crazy people. Gillian Flynn took her time.
Well, there were aspects of Gillian Flynn's personal life that were brought into it as well. Like, Gillian Flynn used to be a writer for Entertainment Weekly. When a lot of the publishing industry was going bust, they laid off a bunch of people at Entertainment Weekly, and she was unemployed, just like the main character of the book, the main female character of the book. So there were elements of, like, that boredom of housewife. Like, she understood that. But her, I've read all three of her thrillers. I have not read her contemporary fiction book, but I've read all three of her thrillers. Not my preferred genre, still one of the best writers of the genre. I would read more of her if she put more out. Like, they are really good. Freida McFadden, this is not it. This is
I'm still traumatized by watching Neil Patrick Harris. I'm not going to lie.
Oh my gosh. Did you see the behind the scenes where they filmed it? Like, he had to go take full showers to refilm it after each take. Yeah. Which is crazy.
He was kind of
perfect for that role. He was kind of perfect
for that role. But like watching him die like that, especially like that was like peak How I Met Your Mother too.
Oh yeah.
It was just so drastic. And I'm just like, what are you doing, NPH?
So for me, I got to that point and I was like, okay, so maybe it's 2 stars instead of 1. That's how it redeemed it for me. 2 stars instead of 1. Now, today in my journal,
I still wanted to DNF it.
If we wouldn't have had it on the pod list, there's no way I would have finished that book.
If it would have been offensive, more offensive, I would have DNF'd it.
So in my journal for next year, it has a what do these star ratings mean to you? So 1 star. Well, I finished reading it. 2 stars. Something happened. And that's why this got 2 stars. Something happened. It gets 2 stars.
I mean, there was no grammatical errors.
Oh my gosh, I don't agree with you. There was such inconsistency in the writing. There was a part where Millie talks about how she says it's stuffy, and then in her internal monologue, she's telling the reader it's not stuffy. It's actually really drafty in her room. And then 2 chapters later, she talks about it being stuffy.
But
she's telling us, not anyone else. So that's really an inconsistency. And that's minor, but it's enough to piss me the fuck off.
Before chapter 1, the way and how slow the audiobook narrator was going, I was like, Is this a first edit? Have we not gotten a clear book? Like,
yeah. Hold that thought till a couple more questions from now. Hold that thought. All right. So when Andrew locks Millie in the attic, as he did to Nina for years.
What did she do with her key? Like,
but she
had a key.
Yes, but it locked from the outside. So even if she had a key, she couldn't unlock it from the inside.
That's the whole point of the key.
It doesn't.
It doesn't matter.
No, think about like your front door. You put a key in to unlock it. You can't unlock it. I can unlock it from the other side. Well, apparently you couldn't this. But anyway, When Andrew locks Millie in the attic, as he did for Nina, did to Nina for years, did you expect Millie to fight back? Were you surprised by how malicious she was?
No, because Millie probably is Roxy. And if you listen to last week's episode, that makes sense. Millie is probably Roxy.
Mm-hmm.
And she just lost it.
Yeah.
But what I don't get is why she didn't leave. As soon as that man was in the attic, she could have just left.
She could have called the cops.
Left.
Freda McFadden never rectifies the fact that everything is being recorded on, live streamed on his phone. And at one point, Millie was able to rewind it and watch Andrew through the night. So there's still video evidence of how he died. Like, come on.
And the cops was like, oh, accidental death.
Oops, whatever.
Well, this guy and magically, he's the dad of the girl he first screwed over.
Yeah, the one that was the ex-fiance that they never got married.
I wasn't
really surprised at all because, of course, Millie was going to fight back. But I do agree with you. She could have just fucking left. She could have left him up there.
Like, every time she kept going back to him, I was like, I literally screamed at the audiobook, why are you still in this house?
No, she did not.
Why are you still here?
Should not need to be.
No!
And it would have been the same conclusion, right? Which brings me to my next question.
Died!
Follow-up question. Millie basically murders Andrew, but we lose a whole 3 fucking days of the process. What did you think about the conclusion of Andrew's story? What about the fact that it alluded to his mother having done the same thing to him?
His mother was batshit crazy.
Oh, yeah.
I'm assuming he has siblings that are dead also.
Probably.
And he's the only child that survived that house. I would not be surprised if we get a prequel book from her one day. And it's all about Andy's childhood.
I won't be reading that.
It'll be called The Mother or something, right?
But I won't be reading that.
She absolutely was. No, I won't either. But she is absolutely batshit crazy, that woman.
How does his dad not know? How does his dad because not know?
He works.
He's been retired. He's been retired now. So is he getting locked up in the attic in Florida?
I don't know. And what cracks me up is he's like, we'll take care of you and the baby.
No.
Because you were so helpful with your son before.
The fact that Millie murders him, doesn't realize she's murdered him, doesn't realize how many days it's been since he's been locked in the attic. Like, none of that makes sense. Like, the last we get of the two of them interacting, it seems like it's in real time for Nina coming over. And it turns out it's 3 days later. It doesn't make sense.
There's a lot of loose threads in this. Like, I think the mini fridge of water was supposed to be drugged originally. I think that was originally in a plan. But then, like, we never tie it to, she never ties it back together later. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, we spend a lot of time on those 3 little bottles of water for them not to have any point.
I think the point is that you'll get more desperate the more you're thirsty and hungry. I don't think that the bottles of water were drugged. I think the reason way he drugged Nina after and then had her committed, I think he did that because he gave her water when he let her out. Like, that was the first thing he did. He brought her a glass of water. And then she was like clinging to him, even though he had just locked her up there for days.
It
was gross.
I hate it all. I hate it all. All of it.
All right. Before we wrap up, I want to talk about Freda as an author. There are a lot of people that think her books might be written by AI.
Frida is a literal doctor practicing medicine. She was self/indie published. She describes herself as self-published, but some self-published authors say indie published, so I put both. Prior to being picked up by a traditional publisher and re-releasing all of her back catalog. What are your thoughts on her as a writer, since you're a writer yourself?
I can see the AI allegations.
Mm-hmm.
I would never accuse another author of AI without proper evidence, especially since my in a vacuum, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. She's smarter than this.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a medical doctorate,
I hope she's smarter than this.
She has to be smart. That's where it bothers me so much.
Yeah.
The lack of research, the shitty writing, the delays, the inconsistencies, the way that
she handled the medical side of things, the way that Nina was committed and diagnosed, it doesn't make any fucking sense. That would not be how someone was diagnosed.
She took her name and slapped it on somebody else's work. I'm not saying it's AI. Maybe she had a ghostwriter. Maybe. I don't know.
But yeah. So
I cannot believe in my heart of hearts, someone that is smart enough to make it all the way through high school, associates, bachelor's, med school, residencies, boards, getting to your profession, making it through all those years, finally becoming a practicing practitioner, and you write this bullshit.
I mean, I am very smart and I can also be very dumb. So, I mean,
that can happen. But
I feel like this was...
Charlene. An actual fucking cardiologist. Charlene.
Right. I know. Right. I feel like... So I've been asked the question at the library specifically. Mm-hmm. Do you think that her writing is AI? Because I'll tell you what. So we have a section of our library called Lucky Day. So it's all hot new releases that we buy an extra copy of. And if you find it on the shelf, it's your lucky day. You can't renew it. You can't put it on hold. They're just there.
It's
to cut down on how long the holds lists are. Frida McFadden has released multiple books this year, and we get two copies for our library. We get the one for the shelf, mm-hmm. the regular new shelf, and the Lucky Day shelf.
And one for Lucky Day.
And so I keep getting asked, do you think it's AI? How is she releasing these so quickly? It's because she has a back catalog. Mm-hmm. It's just how Dungeon Crawler Carl was Matt Dinneman released 7 books in 1 year. It's because he already had them published. They were being traditionally published.
They were just going through the process.
Right. So that's how she's releasing so many. But in retrospect, when you compare someone like Matt Dinneman, who had an entire back catalog before he was traditionally published, and Frida McFadden, who also had an entire back catalog before she was traditionally published, you can see where the publishing industry is looking for the money side of things and not the good writing side of things. And I actually had this conversation with Emma Berry last week. Our friend Emma Berry, who is a good friend of mine. And so we talked about this because she has a few writer friends who are looking to get their debut picked up and they can't because publishers are going for the sure thing. They're re-releasing Amy Dawes and Frida McFadden and all these books that have already gone viral. So they know they can sell them. And that's unfortunate.
Fucking Twilight. Twilight's being reprinted.
I've got brand new anniversary edition up there, which is really cool.
I deserve those. My dust jacket's missing for New Moon. No, sorry. My bad. Eclipse.
You definitely deserve them then. For sure. I completely agree.
She's beaten up.
I couldn't buy the whole series again, but I did buy the original.
That is my thanks for not killing the kids while I was on shutdown, honey, lit gift.
Yeah, that's fair. Anyway,
it's a valid gift.
My whole thing is I wish publishers were being more considerate about the people they pick up. So let's talk about our friend Amy Award. She's an indie published author who's been doing this for 20 years, I think she said.
Yeah. And it's her livelihood.
It is. She has been killing it with her most recent series, which is the series we covered, which is the Kingman series.
Yeah, the Cocky Kingmans.
Yes. Yeah. So we did The Cock Down the Block, and I've read multiple books from that series, and I really like her. And if she got picked up by a trad publisher, 100% I would buy hard copy or buy copies of all of her books. But I don't think she will.
But she deserves it.
But I don't think she will. I don't think she would take the offer because she's making good money publishing herself. Because
she has her Patreon. She has her Facebook group. She has loyal readers. And she writes under multiple names. She does supernatural romance. She does she has a whole wolf series, right?
And like, she's her own publisher, so all the money is hers. The only money that she puts out is to produce the items, which she gets back by selling them.
She's amazing.
We'll put she has an assistant.
In the diddly-do.
Oh yeah, if you haven't read Amy Award or haven't listened to that episode, she was a great guest.
So good.
Her content on TikTok's really great, and she's a good writer. Like I really like that series.
It's enjoyable.
So, yeah.
I just, I'm frustrated, period.
Okay.
Period.
Yeah. So final thoughts, Goodreads rating, will you read her again?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
I won't read her again either.
I get frustrated when people that are terrible writers go viral. Mm-hmm. I get frustrated when you see everybody and their mother is out there hustling their books right now. Like, everybody wants to be viral, and everybody wants... I lost my point. Fuck me.
You know, though, Molly, we have read some viral books that have been very, very terrible. And then we have read books that...
Like Sharkheart.
Like Sharkheart, that we... And Dungeon Crawler Carl, that we didn't see anywhere before we read it. And then it was everywhere.
Well, that's that pointed out that you and I have a knack for picking things that become hella popular.
Oh,
remember
I know.
Remember back in the day when you and I would discuss Hunger Games and then the Hunger Games trailer came out. And every time you and I started talking about a book, it would get picked up. That was for years you and I would do that.
100%.
That was pre-pod.
Yeah,
100%. And now we're seeing just trash.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Trash.
And it's interesting because, like, my favorite author is Olivia Dade. She's not on social media. I fucking love her and will read everything she writes. And she's not on social media. The way that she has become popular. Huh?
That babes.
Well, she is on social media, though. She started being on TikTok now. But
yeah, well, she's doing the real-time read. That's an annual thing.
Yeah, but my whole thing is Olivia became popular because social media promoted her to popularity. Mm-hmm. And I suppose the same thing can be said for Freida McFadden. However, comparatively, the writing is just not there.
Not the same.
And I also think that some books get popular because, like, I see two things happen. There's the books that get really popular because everyone thinks they're smart if they say they've read it. So examples of that would be... what was that one we read that was really terrible with the woman like looking like she was screaming on the cover?
Big Swiss.
People think they're smart if they've read that book and enjoyed it. I guess the same can be said about Sharkheart, although that book actually is good.
It's good.
And then you get books that are like this that are complete and utter garbage, but people who are new to enjoying reading as a hobby, this is in their wheelhouse. This is something they can understand and follow.
And I don't want to deter you from reading. I am super happy if you are if you, the reader, are finally picking up books and this is the first book you pick up and you fucking love it, I'm super happy for you. But if you're, this is your first book in a while, go listen to our back catalog. We have a great list that has nothing to do with Freida McFadden.
Yeah. And it's actually only been this season that we focused on reading books that we saw on social media. Every other season, we've read books that we saw in the bookstore and we're like, hey, that looks really cool. Or we already owned it, or we wanted to force each other to read it. It was this season we decided to focus on books that we were seeing on social media.
Right. Right. And we've done that in the past where we put stuff on. I mean, what is it? Tempest of Tea was book talk.
I didn't see that one on Book Talk. It was on the shelf in my library, and I was like, that's fucking beautiful. I want to read it.
Oh, I saw it on Book Talk first. Anyway, it don't matter.
But I don't know. I will not read her again. Not only is this not my preferred genre, but I just didn't think the writing held up.
I gave her a big old stinky 2.
I gave her a 2 as well. And I think that that's more than generous.
And you know what makes me sad? I can't find a gif of Christina Yeager saying stinky 2 anywhere. And that's the only reason I say that. Stinky 2 over there.
I do not remember that at all, but it's fine.
It was Steve, her intern. She called him 2.
Right.
Because Lexi's number 1 and he's stinky number 2 because he doesn't shower.
All right, so don't forget, go to beawesomereadbooks.com. Get yourself a t-shirt.
Don't forget to watch Grays.
And watch Grays. Get yourself a t-shirt. And with the purchase of a t-shirt this month, and this is the last week to do so, you get a free magnetic bookmark. And the magnetic bookmarks are fire. They don't bend your pages. They hold very, very well.
I have not. I've been playing with this homie as my fidget for since we've gotten it.
And it's been no issues.
No, it's not gonna break. Ain't gonna break.
No.
These are some strong ass bitches.
And we do
put that in the reviews.
Listen, one of the things that Molly and I talked about when we were initially looking for sponsors was we did not want to put sponsors on our podcast that were just things that we got money from. Like, we wanted to actually support
things we believe
and agree with the product. And we love it. My backpack broke recently, so I've been using the tote bag that they sent us.
Oh my god. Speaking of the tote bag.
The tote bag is phenomenal. Like, it holds up really well. Like, it's a very strong tote bag. I took it with me to Barnes & Noble and filled it with books and it didn't break.
I've been using it for produce. Strawberries leaked in it. I washed it. It looks like I carried a dead head in it or something because the strawberries just...
I feel like that fits your vibe.
Yeah.
Mine has a little bit of a blue staining on it because my sons were growing crystals and the liquid... Science. Yeah. I mean, all I need to say is my sons...
Oh, you might have crystals on your... Crystals on your bag.
No. It was just the blue powder that got on it, not the activator. So... All right. Anyway, that's it. Let's talk about what we're doing next month. Because we have, this is the last week for October. So we've got a whole month of new books.
November is good. Fast.
This season's going fast. I mean, this season's going fast.
Mm-hmm.
Which is great. Wonderful. So we're going to kick off the month with this book.
I'm so excited about this book.
Amelia Hart. And I know that we're late to the game on this. This has been on both of our TBRs. This was a book of the year finalist in 2023. This is a book of the month copy. I got this from the Friends of the Library bookstore. Support local libraries.
Our local libraries.
So this has been on our TBR for a while. So we're going to read it. I know we're late to the game on it, but we're doing it. Then we are going to be hosting indie author E.L. Valentine to talk about her book, Frosted Torment. And this is the first book in the Marked Mortals saga. And I could be wrong about this, but I think the second book either is coming out around the time that we host something like that.
Yeah.
So she reached out to us. And if you're an author, fill out our form on our website. That's how you get to us, or have your publisher email us. We've covered both. And her book sounds amazing. So we were 100%. We want to read this. So I'm very excited for it. She gave us a nice little signature and sent us copies of it. And
it's beautiful. Yeah,
it's great. So we're going to cover that. And then the third episode of the month, we do not have a book that we will be covering.
I'm kind of excited about this. I'm not going to lie.
We will be hosting the audiobook narrator, Kelsey Navarro Foster, who narrates a lot of Olivia Dade stuff. Yeah, she narrated one of Chessie's books.
Oh, we got to tell her hi for Chessie.
Yeah, we do. I love her voice. And there was a point in time where several months, like, she was narrating all my thoughts because, like, I had just listened to so many audiobooks that she narrated.
I feel that, yeah.
She narrated Two Can Play by Ellie Hazelwood, which was only released as an audiobook, not as a physical book.
Yeah.
It was also really good. So I'm really excited. We're not going to focus on a certain book. We're going to talk to her about her career and how she got into narrating and what that process has been like. So it's going to be a little different episode, but I think it'll be really awesome.
I think we're going to have fun.
And then I think we'll have fun too. And then we're going to wrap out the month with this book, The Frozen River.
Oh my God, yay.
Ariel Lawhon. Lawhon? Lawhon?
I don't know.
This is a library copy. Support local libraries. And I will continue to say that every single day of my life until I die, multiple times.
It's going to be on our grave. Support local libraries.
Support local libraries. So that's what we've got coming in November. We still will have two guests in December as well. Well, three, technically, because one's a writing duo.
I'm so excited.
And then Katie. So really four. Yeah, I mean, it's really great. We've got a lot going on, and it's great. So
okay, shut up. I fangirled a little bit. Whatever, guys. It's going to be fun. I'm excited to have Beth back.
I know. She was a great guest, and she's so funny.
And her to bring her writing partner is going to be a blast.
I know. I'm really excited to meet Sarah.
I can feel the vibes.
It's going to be good. It's going to be good.
It is.
So that's what we've got coming up for November. Follow us on social media. Don't forget to get your shirts. Be awesome. Read books. And that's all we've got.
We'll see you guys next. Same bat time, same bat channel.
Bye. Thank you for joining us on Book Besties. Don't forget to like and subscribe. The views discussed here are those of April and Molly, not those of anyone else. We'd also like to thank our sponsor, Carpe Librum, the shop that has bookish things for bookish people. And right now, you can get a free magnetic bookmark with the purchase of a t-shirt by using the code BESTIESRULE, which is good for the rest of October. Today's book was The Housemaid by Freida McFadden. Your book besties are Molly Biggs and April Watkins, editing by Thomas Watkins, and music is Sleep Sweetly by Prigida. Don't forget to follow the book besties on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. If you'd like to contact the book besties, please email us at bookbestiespod@gmail.com or visit our website, bookbestiespodcast.com. Until next time, besties, get lost in your favorite book.